Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And democracy is a beautiful thing, don't you agree? After that result in Iowa last night, the health of the Republican Party couldn't be better, right?
Yes. The energy is on our side.
That's an official of the Republican Party in South Carolina watching with bemusement as the campaign juggernaut moves from Iowa to points north, south, and east and west. We will have a few more words with him in just a moment. But first, some happy candidates.
Tonight is a testament to the people's commitments, to their yearnings to get back to our core commitments, free market principles, constitutional liberties, and the Judeo-Christian values that built this great nation.
That's Texas Senator Ted Cruz reveling in a victory in Iowa that has launched him into the front runner status for a political nanosecond.
This is a time where we need a president that will truly preserve and protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, not one that undermines, attacks, and ignores the Constitution of the United States.
It was Senator Marco Rubio's third place finish that really may be the headline from Iowa. Does Rubio have the all-important momentum going into New Hampshire? Donald Trump certainly has the leading poll numbers in New Hampshire right now, but some wind came out of his sails last night, and whether Trump buys a farm in Iowa or not, you got to figure he's not coming back here anytime soon. But the other headline?
So as I stand here tonight, breathing a big sigh of relief, thank you, Iowa. I want you to know I will keep doing what I have done my entire life. I will keep standing up for you. I will keep fighting for you. I will always work to achieve the America that I believe in.
Right, right, right. But Hillary Clinton had to pull out every stop to force a draw in Iowa. If Bernie Sanders wins in New Hampshire next week, is this a rebellion within the Democratic Party?
As I think about what happened tonight, I think the people of Iowa have sent a very profound message to the political establishment, to the economic establishment, and by the way, to the media establishment.
Media establishment? Is he talking about me there? Raymond Buckley joins us now. He's chair of the New Hampshire Democratic Party. Mr. Buckley, welcome.
Thank you for having me, John.
Is this suddenly an all-out battle for the soul of the Democratic Party, and can Hillary be the comeback kid next week in New Hampshire?
Well, that's what makes this next 8 days so exciting here in New Hampshire. We have a reputation of deciding at the very last minute. In 2008, despite all of the work and efforts of the campaigns, nearly 20% of the voters decided on primary day who they were going to vote for. We have same-day voter registration. An unregistered person can wake up on primary morning saying, hey, I'm feeling the burn, or I'm ready to say Hill yes, whatever it is that they do. We've got 41% of our voters are independent. They can choose a Republican ballot or a Democratic ballot. That's what makes this the absolute epicenter of the political world for the next 8 days.
This kills the momentum for Donald Trump. Yes, no.
Well, you just never know. New Hampshire voters, both on the Democratic side and Republican side, do always react to Iowa, but not necessarily always the same. So it could be a pretty interesting week for all of them. But the real loser is the Republican Party. When the majority of Iowa Republicans, who you know, are far to the right of the mainstream of America, their top three people. One suggested that we ban Muslims from America. Another one said, calling marriage equality one of America's darkest hours. And another says he opposes abortion, even the case of rape and incest. These are extremists. They're off to the far right. I think it's going to be a good year for Democrats across the country.
Many people think Bernie Sanders is an extremist. And if he wins in New Hampshire, then it's really sort of the old progressives versus the mainstream Clinton Democrats. And I'm wondering how that's going to play between now and the convention.
Well, I think that's what's going to make this a very exciting race between Senator Sanders and Secretary Clinton. But the real difference that you're seeing is that it's a positive race between the two of our candidates, talking about a forward-thinking agenda versus the sort of brutal negative attacks that the Republicans and their super PACs are playing against each other, really appealing to the worst and the fears in their
right.
base.
No, and you can criticize the Republicans, and that's totally fine. But do you think Hillary Clinton should be worried this morning?
Any candidate who should not be worried when they're looking at the New Hampshire electorate, because we expect our candidates to do exactly what she and Bill Clinton understand, and that is working round the clock for the next 8 days. They're going to be crisscrossing the state. We've got CNN town hall meeting with the two candidates, tomorrow evening, then MSNBC debate. Then we've got a major event of the state party with thousands of New Hampshire Democrats. So we've got a great week ahead.
How many people are getting introduced to these candidates now? In other words, people in New Hampshire who haven't, you know, been paying much attention, how important are they?
It's critically important. The last poll that I saw just a day or so ago, 41% of New Hampshire Democrats, or likely New Hampshire Democratic primary voters, hadn't really made up their mind yet. So all of this polling that you're seeing, I don't think it's terribly relevant. I think that both campaigns have put on a terrific ground operation. In fact, each one of them individually has more staff and more offices open than all 13 Republican candidates combined. So this is going to serve us well for November here in New Hampshire. And I think they're going to build this sort of ground operation across the country.
Raymond Buckley is chair of the New Hampshire Democratic Party. Where are you speaking to me from?
Concord, New Hampshire, the state's capital.
Capital of New Hampshire, Concord, New Hampshire. Raymond Buckley, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We're going to return now to the voice you heard right at the beginning of this segment. Ensay Ekpo is second vice chair of the South Carolina Republican Party, and he says he's ready for anything after last night.
The energy from all the voters, on the Republican side at least, showed that we're in for quite a race.
And what happened to Trump, do you think?
I think Trump has no reason to hang his head. I'm sure he wouldn't say that because he likes to win and he likes to win big. But he's coming into untested waters. He's a neophyte politician, and he did very well. I just think that Senator Cruz had a better ground game using traditional politics and traditional get-out-the-votes methods. So an unorthodox campaign like Mr. Trump is running, you know, he did a great job to get in second place, but I think at the end of the day, the system still holds where getting out the vote is the most important thing to securing a victory in this process.
Now, you make a good point. I mean, you got to do the ground game in Iowa, and Trump decided he wasn't going to do that, but he did remarkably well, and people watch the polls, but it's not about polls in Iowa.
Right, and I would say it's really not about polls nationwide. Winning the presidency is a state-by-state process, so national polls mean very little. It's about who can best mobilize their forces to come and show up and vote. And Senator Cruz just showed that with his digital ground game. A lot of people are comparing it to being as successful as Barack Obama's 2008 campaign when no one thought he would beat the mighty Hillary Clinton. It just goes to show that that is still the key metric that wins elections.
What are voters to make around the country of media characterizations of Marco Rubio now as the so-called mainstream candidate? How do they decode that, dismiss that? What's your reaction to that? Because that's what we're going to hear.
Yeah, I think it's great for Senator Rubio to have that mantle. I think there's a battle of, well, who do we coalesce around? Is it going to be Jeb Bush? Or is it going to be Marco Rubio? And Marco was fighting to get that more establishment, moderate mainstream Republican vote. So you're going to see a lot of jockeying. I don't think Jeb is out of the race. I think he's too much of a fighter deep down inside. And I don't think he will go quietly into that dark night. So we'll have to see how that holds. And I think actually South Carolina is going to be the test for that.
South Carolina is a test for Jeb Bush?
South Carolina, we really are a wild card state. You got to remember, in 2012, we chose Newt Gingrich to be the nominee. What I think is that this is going to be a four-way slugfest come February 20th on our primary, first in the South, between Mr. Trump, Mr. Cruz, Rubio, and Bush. And I think 17% for each of those candidates could be a very likely scenario with the winner edging out by a percentage or two. And I think that will tell us a lot about the direction of this race.
It does seem as though that is a formula. Your four-way slugfest is a formula for a battered convention where everybody's damaged goods.
Well, that's one way to think about it, John. I think the other way to think about it is we have some strong, viable candidates, and each of these candidates are bringing their tribe to the table so that whoever the eventual nominee is going to be, the other tribes are going to, you know, support that candidate, which is going to overall make us stronger, I thoroughly believe.
Well, but that assumes that the Trump tribe is going to at some point endorse a front runner. And if it's a four-way slugfest, it seems like Trump would be in it to win it.
Well, of course, and we're still early. But what I'm saying is when we get to the nominating convention, there's got to be a winner. And at that point, we're not going to get 100%, but we're going to get some percentage of the other tribes to come support our candidate. I look at it this way. The energy, like I said in the opening statement, is really on the Republican side. You have between Mr. Trump and Mr. Cruz, you have well over 50%. Almost approaching 60% of the voters in Iowa. Now, I know Iowa is just not representative of the United States particularly, but that says something. There's a lot of energy. There's an energy coefficient that I think will translate and hold over, much like we've seen in the last three elections with Republican victories in the House and in the Senate.
And all of a sudden, there's a big question mark above the head of the donkey that was so sure of what was going to happen in Iowa, and now it's anybody's guess. You want to comment on the Democrats?
Well, I think, you know, Bernie Sanders has tapped in to some energy there, and who's ever to carry the momentum forward is going to be the winner. And so I think it's really great for him. He's getting the millennial vote. The energy is clearly behind him, and we'll have to see how that goes going into New Hampshire, where I think he's ahead there. And then South Carolina, I think he's quite behind Senator Clinton, but it's a long race.
And Zay Akpo is second vice chair of the South Carolina Republican Party, speaking to us from Greenville. Thanks so much, Ense.
Thank you.